What is prayer? Stale tradition? Ritual? A good luck charm? Part of some religious checklist? Done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want? Or at least avoid the lightning bolt? Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused. But at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God. The God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him. In the vastness of all that exists, he actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God? Wherever we are, how can we not thank him for what he's done? Or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence, because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come. His will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
This week I had breakfast with a friend who does business in China all the time, and he goes several times a year, and he had the opportunity to bring his wife with him this time. And she was there kind of for the first time going throughout different parts of China and having a lot of different dinners with different leaders and business owners in all over China. And he told me that he had to teach her how to have interactions with some of the people that they were going to sit down and have dinner with. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the culture is just so different. And he went on to explain to me that the folks over in China, that they actually love to have conversations that essentially, in my own words, lead to debate, especially about politics. And so he kind of told his wife, like, hey, get ready. They're going to want to talk about stuff that, like, we would normally say, you know, don't bring that up unless you want to get into a fight. She's like, what? He's like, well, they're going to ask maybe about the president. And sure enough, at dinner, at one of the dinners, one of the businessmen asked, what do you think, to my friend's wife, what do you think about Donald Trump? What do you think about Donald Trump? And because she knew how to talk and what to say, that it was okay, she shared her opinion, and he told her, and it was proven that it's true. They love to have a heated debate because they wanted it to be honest. They want to know what people really think, how they really feel about certain situations. And even if you're on the different end of a political spectrum or you don't like Donald Trump or whatever it is, say what you think. And he went on to explain to me that, and it's really different from us, because when we sit down to dinner, our goal in connecting with people in relationship is to truly get to know somebody and show that you care. And one of the ways that we do that here, one of the ways I do that, I think, is ask about people's families. Ask about what's going on with your family. How's your wife? How's your spouse? And my friend went on to tell me that of all the things that you can talk about, is the one thing that's off the table. They don't want to talk about a close personal friend or family member. That's like, ooh, that's taboo. You don't do that. And so because he knew and had experience with having relationships with these businessmen in China, they were able to navigate several dinners and have successful interactions. And when it comes to people, there's a way that we interact. There's a way that we connect. There's a way, things that we're supposed to say and not supposed to say. And when we go to different parts of the world, it's different in different parts of the world. And it's one thing to try to figure out how to talk to some very successful businessmen from the other side of the world. some successful people that maybe have a lot of money and a lot of influence and a lot of power, and you got to learn, I better say the right thing, because if I don't say the right thing, then I'm going to get myself in trouble. But what about talking to God? How do we figure out how to talk to God and actually connect with God? I mean, it's one thing to talk to someone from a different culture, but what about the King of Kings? Like, how do we talk to God? How do we actually speak with him and do it in such a way that it's going to be acceptable and that the relationship is going to flow in the direction that he wants it to flow or it should flow? And when we talk about prayer, we're talking about a conversation with God. We're talking about our relationship with God and how it's supposed to go. Now, if prayer to you is something that you're sitting on the edge of your seat going, I really want to learn about prayer. Like, I want to figure this prayer thing out. Then you're sitting where I was sitting several years ago when I was in high school, went to church one day, and they had a guest speaker come in, and this man traveled all over the world, and he had his whole deal, his whole presentation was about prayer. And this man came in front of our church, and he had a suitcase like this. And he set the suitcase up in front of the church, and he opened up the suitcase, and inside of the suitcase, there were thousands of little pieces of paper that had prayers that he made on them. And his whole point was, the more you pray, the more things you ask for, then God will answer more things. And so he had thousands of pieces of prayer, and he just went through and started taking them out and talking about how, well, I prayed this for 3 years, and then God answered it. And then I prayed this, and then God answered it. And this guy basically just told the whole church, like, you need to get serious about prayer. You should be praying more. You should be praying more often. You should have constant interaction with God through prayer. And at the time, I thought to myself, man, like, I would love to be able to pray like that. But actually, a day later, I was like, I am never, ever going to be good at prayer. After hearing that, this guy had thousands of prayers. He was saying that everyone should be praying all the time, that you should be constantly going before God. He was so focused on prayer that, like, I was like, I'm ADD. I'm never going to pray that good. I'm never going to be that successful at prayer. If this is what prayer is, doing it a certain way, getting it perfect every time and making sure that you're constantly doing it and you have a system for prayer, then I'm not going to be that guy, because I'm not like the suitcase full of prayers guy. I'm like the Bon Jovi prayer guy. I'm like living on a prayer. Like, whoa, that's me, okay? I'm the guy who, like, as a pastor and as a spiritual leader, like, I have struggled to pray my entire life. Like, I constantly am like, okay, I need to stop and pray. Okay, God, I'm gonna make sure that, like, I say this to you. Like, if you looked at my life as an example of prayer, you might go like, that can't be it because that's too simple. And some of that is because I am ADD and I kind of like am all over the board. But then the other thing is that I've been affected, and I want you to be affected by what Jesus taught prayer really is. Not what some church or some pastor says, not what the influences around you say, not someone that has like this prayer system, like, you know, it's only $9.99, just fill up your prayer bucket. Someone that actually designed prayer and made it accessible to us, Jesus, he actually taught us to pray. And so throughout this series, we're going to look at how do we pray? Jesus, teach us to pray. Stepping a little further back, you might ask the question before you get into how to pray, why should we pray? Like, why should we pray? And I think once you figure out how to pray and who you're praying to, that the why will answer itself. Because what we're talking about is having a conversation with the author of life, actually engaging in a relationship with God, whether you believe in God or not. If we said you can talk to him, whoa, wouldn't you go, okay, I'll take you up on that. You know, if the president of the United States was coming to town, and I know some of you go, nope, I wouldn't want to sit with him. But if he was, and they said you could go and sit and talk with him, you would go, you know what? That's a pretty cool opportunity. That's a pretty cool, I'm going to go sit and talk. God has said, you can talk to me. You can pray. It's for you. Man, who wouldn't want to do that? And if you're in a relationship with God, why wouldn't you talk to him? I mean, how many of us in relationships drive all the way across the country with one other person and don't say a word? If you're supposed to go through life and have a connection with God, then man, why wouldn't you want to learn how and what that looks like? So the why will be answered in the who, in the how. Of course you wouldn't, of course you want to. But to put it in a simpler phrase, you might say it this way: the purpose of prayer is to connect with perfect love. God is perfect love. He is love. Like nothing you've experienced on earth is love, fully, purely love. It's all tainted and broken and twisted and muddled and convoluted. Everything, even the stuff that's most lovable. All of it. But God is perfect love. And through prayer, he's given us an opportunity to talk with him and relate with him. In Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus in his first sermon, big sermon, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, where he basically lays out for everybody the way that life should be and the way that God has his plan for everything. And he goes through a season of talking about prayer during this presentation. And he gets to a point where the disciples in the middle of it turn to him and go, "Will you teach us to pray?" And when Jesus teaches them to pray, he says, "Okay, why don't you go ahead and pray like this?" And this is the Lord's Prayer. And this is something that, like a lot of us, we've heard this, and maybe we grew up in church, or maybe you saw this in a movie or something. I know for me, the Lord's Prayer, until I was a little older, like it didn't mean a whole lot. In fact, the Lord's Prayer for me was something that we said before football games. Okay? So just like, can you just imagine, like, "Hey, Jesus, like, what should we say before our football game?" Well, you should say the Lord's Prayer. Okay, should it sound like this? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory." Amen. I don't know what I just said, but we're going to kick your butt. I'm certain Jesus is like, "Yeah, that's why I told you to pray, baby, before a football game." That's what the Lord's Prayer was to me. Just what is happening? But Jesus, he sits with his disciples and he teaches them to pray. And this is what he says: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." I mean, this doesn't make any sense to do that before a game. I'm winded. Take me out, coach. Take me out. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." When Jesus puts this prayer in front of them, he is not saying, "This is what you need to pray," verbatim. In fact, in the story, he's taught about prayer several different times. He said lots of things about prayer, and then the disciples go, "Teach us to pray." So when Jesus says this, "This then is how you should pray," what he's saying is, "Let me give you an example of how you should pray." And to put it simply, when Jesus says, "Here's how you should pray," he is saying, you can pray anyway. Any way you want, you can pray. You can say anything. You can talk about whatever you want. You don't have to have formality. You can pray any way you want. At the heart of prayer is really one idea: humility. You can go to God with humility and say anything you want, recognizing that he's God. I mean, the model that he gave them, if you put it into like simpler terms, is this. He's like, "Oh, when you pray, here's a way, here's a model. You can pray any way you want. Tell God who he is. Our Father who art in heaven. Your name is awesome. When you pray, tell God who he is. God, you're incredible. You're creator. You're wonderful. Just tell him who he is. Address him. Just like if you were going to talk to somebody else. But God is God. You see, as soon as you start off with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your mind is, the way that Jesus is telling us, like, I want you to put your minds up here, where I am, who I am. Your will be done. Ask him to do things his way. This is humility. God, I don't know how life is supposed to go. You know how life is supposed to go. He's not saying you have to say, thy will be done. He's not saying you have to say that. He's saying, go to God and say, God, do this your way. Anyway, you want to say it. Ask him for anything. Ask him for bread. Ask him for stuff. Ask him for life. You can ask God for anything. Ask for forgiveness. This assumes humility. God, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me. And ask for protection, because there is an evil one. It says, this is how you should pray. And what's so beautiful about this passage is if you really dive into Matthew chapter 6, and you also go look in the other book in the New Testament, Luke 11, where Jesus also gives this model, what you see is that Jesus has sat there and he's teaching and he's teaching and he's teaching and he's talking about prayer. And there's a section right before this where he goes, and when you pray, don't go out on the streets and pray out in front of everybody with a bunch of like elaborate words and phrases. He says, don't do that. Now, when he says, don't do that, there's a bunch of people that are standing around while he's teaching his disciples, regular, just followers, people that are checking Jesus out, and then the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders. And when he says, this first section before this part, don't go out on the street corner and just pray and make a big scene. He's really kind of like alluding, he kind of could have gone like this, don't do what they do. Those guys get on the street corner, they wear real elaborate robes, and they make these prayers as if they are the only ones who have the system and the approach to God figured out. He says, don't do it like that. He says, go alone, if you're gonna pray, in a closet and talk to God. And the Pharisees are sitting there going, what? Go alone in a closet? Well, if we go alone in a closet and we pray, like, no one's gonna know how good at praying we are. And in that moment, Jesus is like, being good at prayer isn't the point. You see, the word Pharisee, and these were the religious leaders of Jerusalem and of Israel, some of them. The word Pharisee means the separate ones, the separated ones. And so their whole culture for hundreds of years had gotten out of control and skewed into a point where they were like, leaders of the people with the people, to being leaders that were like, we're better than you, we're separate from you. And so from an Israelite mind, when they see the Pharisees, they're going, there's me, and there's no way I can talk to God. And then there's them, and they're separate from me. They're more holy than me. And then they are the ones that talk to God. And so in their mind, in the mindset of these people is, these are the most holy, the most gifted, the most godly people, and they know how to pray. And Jesus stands up before he does this prayer, and he says, don't pray like them. And the separate ones are going, whoa, 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 whoa. We're losing authority, we're losing authority, we're losing influence, we're losing influence. How have we been doing it wrong? We're the most holy, we're the best ones. Don't do it like them. He says, and then also when you pray, don't say a bunch of words. Now, what they would do in their culture is they would come up with these huge phrases that represented God in the most high fashion, like talking to him like a king and talking to him in these big words, and they would just overwhelm God with prayers, and they would do them over and over again, and they would say things repeatedly over and over again, kind of religiously. And Jesus goes, you don't need to say a bunch of words when you talk to God. You don't need to go do it in public, and you don't need to go say a bunch of words. And then he says this, and this is like everything. This is it. And he goes, and when you pray, and he looks at the followers, would you pray? Would you guys pray? Don't do it like that. Do it like this. And he says this. This is everything. So like everyone in the room, he starts off this prayer like this. He says, Our Father. Our Father. Jesus kneels down. He goes, don't say it like that. You don't have to say a lot. Here's how you have to start. Our Father. When Jesus says our Father, he probably spoke it originally in a language called Aramaic, which translated from Greek to Aramaic into Hebrew. I'm not trying to act like I'm smart. I just read it. The original term right here for our Father, which Jesus said when he says, let me show you how to pray, is Jesus sat down and he said this, Daddy. You see, the Hebrew word for our Father is Abba. Oh, you got to get this picture. You got to get this picture. Lots of words, elaborate sayings, and Jesus goes, don't do it like that. Talk to God like this. And when he says, Daddy, everyone goes, Daddy? Daddy is the word that you would hear if you were a teacher in Jerusalem, if you were an Israelite teacher of little kids, when daddies would drop their kids off to go to school or go to the synagogue or run into the house if they got hurt. The word daddy is the word that happens between little kids and their parents. Daddy. In that moment, the Pharisees have a ripping of their heart because Jesus says, you can talk to God like he's your dad. Not formal, not elaborate, not a lot of words. You can say daddy, and the leaders are literally going like, that is the most simple, debased communication I've ever heard talking to God. They would rarely call God Abba. He goes, Abba, Daddy, Abba. Recently, our daughter is almost two, and she's saying Daddy all the time. And you can pray any way. And what I mean by pray any way is you can come to God in the most simple fashion, all that you know with very little words, and talk to him about whatever you want. Jesus didn't come to earth and go through a complicated, horrific death so that we could live a prayer life that's complicated and horrific. The whole point of Jesus is accessibility, and the accessibility that we get is through Dad. Redding's been saying this stuff and just...
Who's that?
Daddy.
Who?
Daddy, this.
Who's that? Who's that?
Daddy, you're gonna... I just... Kevin, you're gonna...
Can you say daddy?
Daddy.
Say daddy.
Cheese.
Say daddy.
Daddy.
We can pray any way. You understand? You can pray any way you want. There's not a key to prayer. There's praying. You see, God doesn't need you to spice it up. God doesn't need you to say it the right way. God has made himself completely accessible. The idea of prayer in the scriptures as a whole now is a relaxed confidence. Go to God anyway and talk to him. If you were going to take the Lord's Prayer and use the word dad, it might look something like this. Dad, you're a great dad, and I don't take that for granted. Please make things in my life the way they should be. Please provide everything I need. Forgive me and help me forgive. Please protect me. You're the best dad ever. Could it be that, like, sometimes we don't pray because we think we haven't got it figured out? You know, the one thing you have got figured out is if God's your father, you know how to talk to him. You know how to talk to your dad. I know some of us don't know how to talk to our dad, but we know how to talk to our parents. Talk to God that way. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful that we can go to you in any fashion. We can talk to you like a child. We can just come to you and say, Daddy, we need you, help us. And God, your word tells us that you help us pray, that you speak for us, that we don't even, if we try to figure it out and we can't figure it out, you still help us. God, help every person in this room feel a sense of ease, of accessibility to you. That you are our father, you are our daddy. Teach us to pray. Help us not to fall into the traps and the ideas that others say, but help us listen to what you said about how we should pray. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.